Today is the third week of I Need a Bailout. The topic today is called, What Will You Do With Extra? Okay, what will you do with extra? I'm going to ask four questions today and I want to answer them. Let's read Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let me tell you, like I said before, 95% of my wife's and mine arguments were about finances. Because she's a spender and I'm a tight person, you know. And so we would fight because it just seemed like she spends every day. And since we've been writing, the assignment was to be a private investigator of your spending, right? And so we write everything. She has her notebook, I have my little notebook, and we bring it and lay it on a table, and she looks at mine, I looked at hers. And I'm like, wow, she's been really good in the last 2 weeks about spending. I mean, she has like, one page, and I have like five pages already. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm the spender. I mean, it just makes you reevaluate yourself. See, a lot of times we deceive ourselves. We think something of ourselves that we're not. We really do. We think we're something, but we're not that. And a lot of times when we have not another person judge us, but when the paper that we write ourselves begin to judge us, we're like, wow, I'm not as what I thought I am. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. This is Jesus saying, take heed and be aware of covetousness. Now let me ask you a question. What is covetousness in your mind? I really didn't know what it was, so I went to a dictionary and checked it out. Let me read to you what covetousness is. Having a craving, excessive desire for wealth or possessions, or for another's possessions, okay? Okay, so Jesus says, be aware of covetousness, okay? That's having a craving, excessive desire for wealth or possessions of others. Okay, that's craving. I want money, okay, or whatever. So let's read it. Take heed and be aware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no more room to store my crops. We can change there and say cars, clothes, DVDs, music, shoes, makeup. What shall I do since I have no more room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then, whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Interesting scripture. The presence of God is in this place. He's going to be teaching us. Four questions I want to ask in today's message. What is covetousness? What's the purpose of your money? What to do with extra? And how to be rich towards God? Let's start with what is covetousness. We already said it's a craving, excessive desire for wealth or possessions. Now, if I were to ask you, are you a covetous person? Would you say yes or no right away? No. Okay. Most of us would say we're not covetousness. However, Jesus says, beware of covetousness. Now, do you agree that you are a sinner? Saved by grace, but still? And sinners sin. Okay? One thing we have to know that we could not say, I'm not proud. You can never say, I'm not proud. Correct? Because till the day you die, you will have to battle with pride. Now, some people have it under control more than others. But all of us deal with pride. Second thing we talked about last week, what was it? About greed, remember? We said, never say I'm not greedy. Okay? Today we're going to say, never say that I'm not covetous. Okay? And let me show it to you. In our modern culture, we replaced covetousness for money with covetousness for things. If you were to be judged, if I were to ask you or evaluate you, or ask you to evaluate yourself, and the question would be, are you covetous for money? Most of us in our culture today would say no. But if I were to change the question just a little bit, because covetousness is not only about money, it's about possessions and wealth. So if I were to ask you a question, evaluate yourself, are you covetous towards stuff? See, it's the same thing. See, a lot of us think, I'm not covetous towards money. I don't care about money. I like stuff though. You know, my wife and I, we own 4 acres that's not being used much. And we were thinking, what can we do with it? What can we do to make money? You know, I'm like, we can make more money just by storing things. And when I started searching out the storage business, I mean, it's a big business in Sioux Falls. If you go to T and everywhere around, I mean, there's so much storage. What are people storing there? Don't they have their own houses and garages? I visit a lot of houses because I work for a lot of people. So many garages are packed where you can only put one car in a 3-car garage. We in America, we have stuff. And although we say we're not covetous for money, yet we do covet stuff. We love things. And if we can't afford stuff, we go and get a credit card and we get stuff. Because, no, we don't want money. And a lot of us could say, I could care less about money, but I do want stuff. I want a Wii, then I want an Xbox, then I want a gun or rifle, then I want fishing stuff, then I want camping stuff, then I want a car, then I want wheels, then I want toys for the car, then I want another car, and I mean, we just want stuff. Then we want TV in every room, then we want a computer in every room now, and I mean, we just like stuff. If we were to be evaluated as a culture, I believe by God's standards, called covetous people, because we love our stuff. Our closets are filled with clothes we never use. Our garages are filled. Our basements are filled. Everything we have we have stuff. Like no nation before this one, we have stuff. And now, why is this business so popular, storage? Because people have so much stuff, they want to store it. And Bible is teaching something totally different. It's talking about this rich man, and God is not condemning him for being rich. He's actually saying, good for you. And Bible says that his fields were plentiful one year. And he got so much stuff. He got blessed with so much stuff that he couldn't put it anymore in his old barns. And instead of doing something different with it, he goes and builds bigger barns. And he says, my security is in my stuff. I want you to think for yourself today and ask yourself a question. Do I have my security in stuff? Do I love stuff? Do I use a lot of credit to get more stuff? That's what covetousness is. It's desire for wealth or possessions. And for America, it would be, we desire possessions. Let me talk to you a little bit about appetite. Do you know that an appetite could never be truly satisfied? Ultimately, finally. You eat, you're satisfied for a moment. And then, a few hours later, you want more. What we have to understand that our stuff is connected to our appetite. Like desiring money is an appetite. Desiring cars, houses, power, glory, things is an appetite. It would seem that the way to satisfy an appetite would be what? To feed it. Yeah, that's what we think. The way to satisfy my appetite is to feed it. However, the more you feed an appetite, the bigger it gets. The more you feeds your appetite, if it's food, if it's cars, if it's drinks, whatever it is, the more you feed it, the more you want it. And we live in the most plentiful country in the world. We got stuff. I mean, we got food. I mean, we have food disposals that you put in and it grinds and it just goes into the sewers. I mean, we got so much stuff. We got so much food. But one thing about appetite that you need to know, that it's never, ever, ever, ever finally satisfied. See, you need to look at your finances, you need to look at stuff and desire for stuff as an appetite. And Bible gives us a little word in the Bible. God gives us a word in the Bible, and that word is fasting. We don't do fasting good in America. I mean, just too much stuff, too much food. Everywhere you drive, I mean, like McDonald's, Burger King, Chinese, Mexican, Italian, Japanese. I mean, just stuff. I mean, food, stuff, whatever you want. And it's like we're in such a habit. You're driving on 41st Street and automatically your steering wheel just turns into a drive-thru. You weren't even hungry, but you turn into the drive-thru. Appetite. And see, the trick is that we're thinking is, well, if I only feed myself this time, I will be fine. But no. The more you starve your appetite, the more you gain control over something. And you know, I was wondering at first, why did God put such a discipline in the Bible called fasting? It's so that the stuff wouldn't own us. We would own our stuff, it wouldn't own us. It wouldn't control us. Because for a lot of us, we're controlled by it. We can't control our appetites anymore. We just want to eat, or we just want to buy. You know, I feel depressed, I'm going to go buy. or I feel depressed, I'm going to go eat. Appetite. And the way to do it, starve it. Amen? All right, hallelujah. Somebody's with me today. So, appetite is shrunk by depriving it. So if you want to gain control over your finances, starve your appetites. If you don't get anything else, if you want to gain control over your finances, starve your appetite, whatever it is, because we all have different appetites. Hallelujah. Point number two, what's the purpose of your money? That's the second. Second thing you need to establish in order to have, to be financially free, financially independent, is what is the purpose of my money? Okay, and now let me explain what I mean. Many people say, well, I want to be free. I just want to be independent. I want to not worry about things. So what you're telling me is that money will not make you worry? See, a lot of us, we say, well, I don't love stuff. I'm not, you know, connected. Stuff don't make me happy. We say that, right? But then you ask a person, why do you want to be financially independent? What would they say? So I don't have to worry about anything. I could get anything I want. I can get stuff and not worry about it. Or, hold on. Or they could say, well, if only I was debt free, I could truly be happy. So now listen to what you're saying then. If I didn't have any debt, if I had money, no, you're saying, if I had money, I would be happy. So what you're saying is money would make me happy. So you're saying money is my source of... We got to be careful, because advertisers are so smart. They know that we're not supposed to love money. So they say, no. Loving money is bad. So give it to us. You know, prove that you don't love money by buying stuff. Advertisers, I mean, they go to schools, Harvard and all those business schools. I mean, they learn how to get your money. And then in the process, they trick you, making you think that you are not spending money or don't love money, while you are, or we are, we all are. Come on. So what's the purpose for my money? If I were debt-free, I would be happy. Do you know what you're saying? I hope I don't hear people say that. If I had more money, I'd be happy. Because that's wrong. Money does not make us happy. Let me read you something from Psychology Today magazine, this interesting quote. It says this: activities that make life feel rich are irrelevant to wealth. This is unchristian publication. Spending time with loved ones, doing meaningful work, serving, volunteering, serving others, cultivating faith and spirituality is what makes people happy. Not possessions, not stuff. But see, we're tricked. If only I could get this Nintendo thing, I will be really happy. If only I could get this little toy right here, I will be really happy. And then we get those things and we're not happy. Because we're happy maybe for a day or two. But appetite is appetite. You need to feed more to feel satisfied. It's never satisfied. Have you ever bought a car and then said, "This, if I can only have this car, it will last me forever. I would be happy man or happy woman." Have you ever said that? And then a few weeks later, you bought that car and you know that's not true now. If only I could get this house, I would be happy. You got the house? No? Well, look at this. Driving by some neighborhood, well, we can squeeze in $300 more or $400 more for payment for that house. I thought that this one will make you happy. See, appetite is appetite. It's never satisfied finally. So never say something like this, because that would be foolish to say, if only I could get this, that's all I need. Just be smart. Don't say nothing. Just don't say nothing. Lord, I want to thank you, whatever. But don't say, this is the only thing I want, Lord. Because you're lying. I am lying. It's not true. We want stuff. Appetite. It's what my appetite wants today. And tomorrow, it'll want it again and again and again. Okay? So, what is the purpose of our money then? What is the purpose of our money? A lot of people think that if only I could be debt free or have more money where I don't have to worry about it, I could be truly happy. But what I see is, if I look at like Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, if I look at Amy Winehouse, I mean, the lady, I mean, did you see some of her pictures? Skinny, I mean, just looking old, so much money, millions. And yet, the money is destroying her. Doesn't make her happy. So now she has to go to rehab, or some people have so much money and they overdose or on purpose or whatever. It doesn't make them happy. They go depressed. So see, the question is, why do you want to be debt free? Because if you don't know why, what's the purpose for your money, you will abuse it and it will destroy you. You know, sometimes it's better not to have money, or because you're always thinking like this. The reason for my problems is because money. If I had more money, I wouldn't have these problems. And so you're always hoping. You know, sometimes a hope of a thing is better than a thing itself. Most of the time, hope is better than when you get the thing. You know, you're believing, my son believing for a bicycle or drums. I just bought him drums. They're the cutest little things. And he was like, "Dad, you have a surprise for me." "Yes, when it's coming." I mean, he was excited. I bought him those drums and he's like, "Oh, okay. What's next?" Now he wants a motorcycle. I mean, he's been wanting that. But I'm like, "No, play your drums, you know?" I mean, that's how we are. We just think the next thing will make us happy. But I've decided that hope is better than sometimes the thing itself. All right? And so these people get all this stuff and they are not happy. Because they did not make a decision. What will I do with my money? What's the purpose for my money? You know, a lot of people who win big money, a lottery or inheritance, get divorced after they get money. I mean, what's that? They lose it and, well, divorce is divide. Divorce, divide, destroy, I don't know, help me out here. whatever is D, it's dividing. And whatever you divide stuff, I mean, it's not right. And so people who have money sometimes are more miserable than those who don't, because they don't have any more hope. When you don't have money, you hope. And that's a good feel. Hope is big, guys. You hope, oh, someday, and you live in that ecstasy or whatever. Someday, Lord. But those who have money, you're like, why aren't you traveling? Why aren't you enjoying life? Why are you, you know, they don't know what to do. And so they do drugs. No, it's true. So see, sometimes it's good to be in lack, because at least you have bigger hope someday. But when you get the money and don't know what to do with it, and you're still miserable, you're still depressed, you're still the same person who you were when you didn't have money, and now the only thing is you're without hope. Point number three, what do we do with our extra? The rich fool decided to build extra space. And Jesus condemned it, says don't build extra space. But what does he say? Verse 33, go to verse 33, says this, sell what you have and give to those in need. That's what Jesus said, okay? So rich man got more, and instead of giving that extra to those in need, using the money for ministry, for the kingdom of God, he decided, I'm going to use my money to build more stuff. You know, there's a tool on the internet right now available to everybody, because Jesus said, go sell your stuff. And a lot of you say, well, that doesn't apply to us today. In those days, it did. Let me tell you something. Today, it applies to us more than ever. We have two internet engines called eBay and Craigslist. You know, you can sell anything. You can sell your old shoes, ladies. You can sell probably underwear. I don't know. You don't want to do that, but just throw those away, okay? And so this rich fool says, I'm just going to build more. And guess what we do in America today? We build more storage to buy more stuff. And we got so much stuff. Listen to what Jesus says. Sell what you have and give to those in need. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So listen to what Jesus says. Now, he says, yeah, you bought the stuff, you used it. Great. He doesn't say don't buy so much. He says, sell. When old folks die and you go to their auctions, have you ever been there? I mean, they got everything. I mean, I just love it. I mean, screwdrivers, like a lot of them. Like you can buy a box for $2. I bought a box a few years ago, bought his pickup too. I mean, I bought stuff. I mean, like, when were you thinking of using this stuff? I mean, I love going to those auctions because people got so much. And then their children just sell it all like it's nothing. And the man would die for it. Bible says, sell it now. Why would you want somebody else to enjoy what you didn't sell? Just you sell it. Put it on Craigslist. Put it on eBay. Learn how to use those things. I mean, you might get a few bucks, but if you send that money to Africa or some third world country, they will need it. Maybe make a decision to say, I will go on a mission trip, and how I'm going to raise money by selling stuff. I know I'm never going to wear this. I'm never going to wear this. I'm never going to ride this bicycle or use this camping gear or whatever it is. I'm not going to store it. I'm not going to pay money to store my stuff that later my children will sell for nothing. I'm going to sell it now and give to the poor. Give to those in need. What will you do with extra? Because this fool had a wrong idea. He said, I will destroy my old barns and build bigger ones. And listen to this. If a person finds his income rising, and instead of funneling that increase into the kingdom and ministry, he buys more toys, bigger things to increase his ease and security, like this rich man, then God will call that person a fool and take away his soul. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things which you have provided be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Fourth point, God says, you need to be rich towards me. Yes, I will provide for you, but there's always extra. And guess what we do in America today? Everywhere in the world, we take that extra and we buy extra stuff. God says, no, no, no. Extra is not for you to buy more stuff. And focus it on self. The word selfish, the root of it, is to use everything on yourself. And that's what a lot of us are. We're selfish. No, honestly, and I'm not here to condemn. I'm talking about myself and I'm talking about you. We're selfish. And if we were checked to see exactly how much we give, we would be surprised that we don't really give that much. We think we do because we thought we were going to give. We thought we had a good intention to give, but we didn't. But now we think because we thought to give is equivalent to giving. Uh-uh. What you thought to give is not equal to what you give. And a lot of us, we think we give a lot more than we actually give. Now, I'm not saying you should give to this church. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, you should. But you should give to your church, but you don't have to give to this church. Nobody's going to twist your arm. And if only you're giving to the church, something's wrong with it. You should be giving to the needy, to the poor. This is not the only place you give. You have to find a way to sell your stuff and give to those in need. Vadim, go ahead, play. How to be rich towards God? The question we should ask, God, how can I use my money to honor you? God, how can I use the extra that you have given me to honor you? Listen, church, that should be the question. Not how much more stuff can I get? What else does my appetite want? That shouldn't be it. Because we can't take the money with us. And we die, and our children will fight for it. Less for them to fight. There's an enjoyment that comes from not being greedy. There's enjoyment from not being proud. There's enjoyment of not being boastful. I look at my life in the past and I'm like, Lord, wow, how far you have brought me. How much more happier I am because you have broke the spirit of this man and flesh of this man. I thought that I was happy then, now more happier. Because our happiness does not depend on our finances or the things we own. It depends on, in psychology today said that when people think about money, it makes them be more greedy. But when they give at least $5 to somebody, their level of happiness rises up.